Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Must be time for the 5-on-5. Thank you. And once again, folks, this week, the 5-on-5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there, you will find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and, of course, mine and everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. You can find them in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1 or give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
And today's 5-on-5 is getting into the holiday mentality. It's a seasonal one. So number 5, a card in the mail early in the season, your first connection from far away that wishes you a Merry Christmas.
And the whole art of sending cards is a dying thing. People don't send as many
snail
cards.
Snail mail matters. People
love it, though.
Yeah. Okay, number 4, an invitation to a Christmas get-together. Looking forward to gathering with friends to celebrate the season. Any kind of Christmas get-together.
Love it as well.
Yeah. Number 3, goofy Christmas jewelry. Holiday bells hanging from your ears, light-up necklaces bestowed with holiday memorabilia, red and green together on purpose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it might be a chick thing, but women like it.
It's
kind of fun.
You know, it could be goofy Hanukkah jewelry as well.
It could be. I have a friend that I work with, and she had this little pin, and it was like little fake gemstones, red and then diamond and then green, and it just said ho, ho, ho. And she was like, isn't this cute? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I so cute. Think I know who that is.
Number 2, decadent junk food appearing all over. From like peppermints and candy in people's offices to cookies to where there's usually just coffee. Now there's cookies and the one fruitcake that's going around the world. I don't know.
But the beauty of that, Beth, is it comes with a built-in justification.
Yeah, that's right. It's Christmas. And the number 1, I have the number 1 getting into the holiday mentality, helps me get into it. Lights on the houses that brighten my dark night and make the drive time more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
I love seeing the lights on the houses. I don't know what it is. Always have.
I live holidays to holidays. It's my seasonal marker.
Yeah. Always. I put one little strand of lights up at my house. And I mean, but we do decorate at another place. My place of business, we decorate like crazy, and it's crazy. So I do my share.
And I could so see you having a Charlie Brown Christmas tree as well.
I do have a nice little Christmas tree. It's not big and fancy, but it's a nice little Christmas tree with old ornaments. Emily and I were putting the ornaments on the tree the other day, and I said, should we throw some of these out? And she's like, nah, keep them. You know, I have the ones that they made in kindergarten of rolled up construction paper and stuff like that.
I do too.
It's important. It's important. Well, we're in the studio today talking with Andy Dobo. Dr. Dobo is a psychologist. At collaborative
not
counseling. I was going to say psychotherapist, and that's not how he introduces himself, as a psychologist at a collaborative counseling center in Sebastian, Florida. He's the author of a wonderful book called Unburdening Souls at the Speed of Thought. And it's about the transforming power of EMDR, and it's an interesting book. EMDR, it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's an integrative psychotherapy approach that treats trauma. And I have to tell you, I've seen it help a lot of people. A lot of people. I recommend it at almost every workshop that I do, because some of us can work through things ourselves. And some of us have things that are deeper that we can't understand why we never seem to get over them. And for many of the people that I work with, things wrap themselves. We just did a Beth Wee, one of our little Facebook blogs was, you know, feelings wrap themselves around places and smells. And, you know, I remember I actually posted personally on that after that one posted. I mentioned that after my mother died, I took a jacket of hers and I zipped it in the closet in this thing. And I had plastic around it and then in a zippy case and stuff. And it was a hard year in my life. And when I was going through stuff that was hard, I would just unzip that plastic and stick my face into that coat and smell my mother. And it made me feel better. The smell of my mother, even though she had passed, even though I couldn't talk to her, just the smell of being close to her mattered. Our minds are incredible, and our bodies are incredible. They work with the mind. And EMDR is a way that we can get into some of the deeper things and find our way out. Because some of us got a little mixed up early in life. And sometimes, you know, for example, if I'm taking someone, I believe in the 12 steps that were started with Alcoholics Anonymous. I help people learn how to live those and work those in their lives. And if you see me in Panera with one person, that's probably what we're doing. I'm trying to help somebody find their way.
Acquire a new manner of living.
Yeah, because it works. You don't have to be an alcoholic to utilize those wonderful principles in your life.
And they base it on a psychic change. It's just a change in the way you think.
Yeah, and that's what this, but sometimes there's something that people are stuck. And when they're stuck, I recommend EMDR. I recommend this man who's sitting in the studio with us today. I tell him, I know of one guy that does it locally, and he does a good job, and I'll give them his name. And I want to ask you a couple of specific questions, Andy, that some of the people listening. Mm-hmm. So does EMDR help any specific age group? Is there does it work for everybody or anybody, or is it?
Yeah, most of the time I would say yeah. Sure. Kids are very easy. We have a therapist in our office, Dr. Green and Liz Prudenti. They both see kids. I don't see children. But they don't have 50 years of linkages of I don't matter. They just have like maybe
a few.
Eight.
Yeah.
So I know during the hurricanes in 04, I was working with kids at that time where I remember one fellow in particular, his mom was a nurse, dad was a fireman, so he was with the neighbors. And so that was pretty traumatic for him. Only three sessions, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good to go. So it's pretty quick with kids. I think the older you are, there's more linkages. There's more templates that you've replicated of I'm not good enough or I don't matter.
And you've become more comfortable in those uncomfortable shoes,
exactly.
So to speak.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think if people are willing to surrender, they'll get a benefit. And I just want to, the word trauma, kind of people say, I've never had a trauma. I like to use the word distressing event.
Okay.
Have you ever had a distressing event? Because if you've ever overreacted to something, that overreaction is whatever is happening in that moment is a trigger, and it's linking to a lot of memories in your life that are linking to the cognition. And probably everybody out, no one gets through life without a negative belief about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could benefit from EMDR, unless you're in denial or a narcissist.
Right.
So we all have a negative belief about ourselves, and that negative belief is impacting our life in ways that we're completely unaware.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I teach on, and it's from, and I learned it through studying those 12 steps, and it's in step 8, is that we have patterns in our relationships, and we repeat them without knowing it. So if you're listing people that maybe you've harmed or you've been harmed by in your life, and say you list for women that I work with, anybody who you've had a really... what you would term a serious romantic relationship, whatever serious is for you, and put their names all together and then list what was the harm done. And when they do that, they start to see their pattern, what they're looking for. Like they look for a man who, like earlier in the session today, you said, you look for people who will say, no, you're not very important. Women do that when they're looking at mates. They're attracted to somebody who's going to blow them off, or they're attracted to somebody who's going to fill in the blank, whatever the pattern they learned. And if they see them, they never see the guys as the same kind of guy until I have them list them like that. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I always go for the guy that I got to make the money.
And on the
I got to be the breadwinner. I got to be the whatever it is that their pattern is.
On the same hand, Beth, you know, before I had done some of the work I've done in my life, you know, you attract what you are. When I used to consider myself a half a person looking for somebody else to make me whole. And a half a person is inevitably going to attract another half person. I mean, it's an analogy, but, you know, if I'm struggling, I'm going to attract another struggler. You know, as I overcame some of my challenges, I attracted more. The more healthy I became, the more healthy I attracted.
Right. So you have these sessions with people maybe these are coming up. This will come up in EMDR. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it gets healed because it comes to the surface.
Well, for example, if somebody, a client where she had an I don't matter husband, an abusive, dangerous man who almost killed her. So she escapes from him and she finds this docile, quiet, gentle guy. And she says, honey, can you take the trash out for me? And he says, sure. And then he doesn't.
Oh.
Because she doesn't matter. So I don't matter people can look very different. You think, oh, I'm never going to make that mistake again.
Right.
Oh, really?
So the guy doesn't hit me, but he ignores me.
Yeah, you
it's
don't
a
matter.
Different kind of you don't matter.
Or like you said, worse than disrespecting is rendering somebody insignificant.
Right. And it is. And those are patterns in our lives. And those patterns, in some of the studying that I did, one of the books in the literature for... I think it's Alcoholics Anonymous, mentions that those things, those patterns in relationships are the cause of other addictions, like your drinking or your drugging or your overeating or your drivenness at work or where you're blowing people off because they don't matter.
I think it refers to it as all our woes.
Yeah. So it's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. We have just a little time before we're going to take a little break. I want to ask, I know people are wondering, is this something they got to do for years? Like, what is the average number of visits that you see change? How does EMDR help people, and how many visits do you suggest?
The answer to that is it depends.
Right, right. Well, like you said, but kids are shorter.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have less time.
And EMDR, when I do a timeline of distressing events, people come in with maybe 10 or 12 or 15 things, and we do one EMDR session. And EMDR, if we're using the belief, I don't matter for this particular memory, it'll just sweep up and heal like hundreds of moments.
Yeah.
So it's fast. I mean, our office manager complained and said, you don't keep your patients long enough. You know, I mean, she was because people do get better faster. I rarely have anybody on my caseload for like a year. That's pretty rare. Occasionally, some people I do. There's, you know, some people don't like to do a lot of EMDR, so they just come for some, you know, counseling. But it's very fast.
Yeah,
I think.
So it moves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So
months, not years.
Months, not years. So we're talking about EMDR. It's a new approach. Relatively new, 1989?
Yeah, 87.
Okay. Yeah. And it's relatively new, and it helps people sort through things. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And thanks for sticking around, folks.
We're talking today in the studio with Dr. Andrew Dobo, a licensed psychologist at Collaborative Counseling Center in Sebastian, Florida, and the author of Unburdening Souls at the Speed of Thought. And we're talking about EMDR, a way of finding distressing experiences in our past and relieving us of them. You know, I had a woman that I sent to see Andy years back, and when I asked her how she was doing with the EMDR, she told me a wonderful little story about a file cabinet. She said, Beth, I had this thing that no matter any time I was doing anything, it was like a file cabinet in my head, and the top drawer would fly open and this file would fly out, and I would be angry and upset because this memory just kept coming out at me like that. And after I did the EMDR, she said, it's still in there. I still have the memory, but it's in the filing cabinet. And it's filed, and it's under an alphabetical thing, and I can find it if I need it. but it doesn't fly out at me anymore. That was how she described what changed. So if you're struggling with an issue that makes you get angry all of a sudden, or maybe all of a sudden you're anxious or stressed or upset, EMDR might be the ticket for you. It might be something worth giving it a shot. The wonderful news about it is most insurances do cover it. You have to pay your little copay, but that's what you're paying. Some of the other treatments that we recommend here at Beth We aren't always covered on insurance because they're newer or they're not overseen by the AMA or whatever. Yet. Yeah. But that's, now Lee, you had a story about EMDR.
Dr. Dobo just mentioned, you know, the different variety of traumas. I had two experiences because many years ago I had gone to Dr. Dobo and done this practice. The one is that when I was married to my daughter's mother, I got called home. I was out of town working, and she was suffering from mental illness, had dove through the picture window.
Oh, in our apartment on the second floor.
And when I walked in the apartment for the first time, and I can still see the image in my mind clearly of a big shard. I can remember the shape of the glass, the curtains torn, blowing in and out, the blood everywhere. Okay, and this was after she had been in the hospital for a couple of days. And every time I would think of that, it would elicit an emotional response. It was disturbing. Okay. Following the EMDR, I could think about it, and it was a memory, but it no longer was elicited that disturbing response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one aspect of trauma. And briefly, the other aspect was, and I've shared it openly on the air here before, is that when I was 10 years old, I was sexually molested, which left me with a tremendous amount of confusion. Okay, and we worked that through. Okay, the thing I can tell you is I was relieved of the hatred and a lot of the animosity and a lot of the self-imposed feelings after this. And it's kind of like, and this is the last thing I'll say, and it's just because my wife Diane, my lovely Diane, loves this example. If I have a boil, a boil that won't go away, and I put a hot washcloth on it, I'm going to get a little relief. But the boil is still going to be there, and I'm still going to get pain. If I have it lanced and they clean it out, I will always have a scar. I will always know that I had a boil there, but it won't hurt anymore.
Right.
So Diane loves that analogy.
No, and I think Lee could talk about these things, and I think when he shared that with me, I think it was far more emotional initially when we talked about it.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, he couldn't even say it.
Right, and a lot of times that's a wonderful thing, too, with EMDR, is that when we do this timeline, I will tell people, listen, if there's something that happened to you that you don't want to tell me, you don't need to tell me. I just need to know that I had this upsetting thing that happened to me, and I have an image in my mind. I just need to know they have an image of it, and then we can go to work. So EMDR isn't about, you know, telling me all about these horrible things that happened to you. I just need to know that you have an image, and let's move on. Because EMDR, the wonderful thing about it is there's really no talking about these traumas. It all happens in your own head, and it's already in your own head.
Right.
So you already have had these thoughts probably daily, and I'm just asking you to go into those thoughts one last time, and I don't even have to know what it is. I mean, often, you know, and that's really another beautiful thing, because we're talking about a lot of the folks that I see are adults who have been sexually abused, you know, mostly women, but some men as well. And they don't want to tell me.
Right.
And I don't really want to hear it, quite frankly.
Yeah, right.
Oops, sorry.
Well, it might not be what's going to help them anyway. What needs
it usually just upsets them.
Right.
I do tell them, though, look, after EMDR, if you want to tell me, I'm happy to listen. You know, if you want me to bear witness to what you have been through, I'm happy to listen. But they usually don't need to talk about it after.
Right, right.
But this isn't a talk therapy modality.
Right. No, but we'd do a session, maybe another session, and then we'll do a processing session and talk about, are you noticing any changes in your life? Are you noticing what's going on with you? And so it's not like you come in and you don't ever talk to me and we just look at the lights.
Right.
You know, we set up a couple EMDR protocols. We'll do those for maybe one or two sessions. And then we have to talk because it changes in you internally, and internally will change the way you behave out in the world. And that could be a problem.
Right.
So we have
to
do some talking and counseling and some, you know.
So we talked about some issues that you've had, and what other kind of problems can EMDR therapy treat? So obviously sexual abuse as a child, repetitive, the I don't matter thing, or the marriage to somebody who is abusive, or right. what other things, if people listening saying, I don't really have that, or I don't have this that I know of, what other things have you seen it treat?
Most people that come into my office have either trauma, some depression, anxiety. Those are the main things.
Okay.
I don't treat bipolar. You need medication for some of those things.
Right.
So that's mainly it. And usually the depression, though, is a symptom of something that happened in the past.
Right.
So I do some cognitive work, to help people manage the depression until the EMDR can get to the bottom of it and to find out why are they depressed.
Because sometimes it has to dig deep, right? Sometimes you have to go deeper than, because with this avoidance, I was thinking about that as that being your first stage. For many people, avoidance has been a way of life.
Okay.
And you got it to get through, to cut through that is like, it's like getting through a huge...
Well, they've adapted it as their coping mechanism.
Right. But I mean, it's so thick.
Yeah.
They've been avoiding it for so long, they don't even know they're lying anymore to themselves. They don't even know. Deep down somewhere inside, they know something ain't right.
But they've decided to settle.
Yeah, they've decided to settle for the.
Yeah, usually when they show up, they're in extreme distress because it's not working anymore.
Right.
Well, pain is the greatest motivator.
It sure is.
Thank you. That's true.
And it's like, pain. I'll try anything.
Pain.
I'll give this thing a shot, Doc. That's what I am. I'm going to give it a shot. What have I got to lose, guy?
Right. Yeah. How often have I been in a situation where I don't think it'll work? How is this going to work? But you know what? Nothing else has.
Right.
Right. Is it true if I say that after EMDR or with EMDR that you get to use what's helpful and discard what's inappropriate in your mind? Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, I sort of tell the view becomes authentic, like that I matter or that I am good enough, that I'm okay in my own skin. I'm okay as I am. I don't need to please anybody. Like when we set up a cognition, I don't matter. We don't say I don't matter to my mother. I don't matter to my.
Right,
it's just
right.
I don't. It's just the person is the beginning and the end.
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of the approach.
So we're talking today. If you've been listening, we're so glad you tuned in. We're talking about EMDR. We had Andy Dobo, a practitioner from Sebastian, Florida, author of Unburdening Souls at the Speed of Thought. It's available at andrewdobo.com or on Amazon. Get the book. Read it. See if it would help you. See if it's something that talks to you. Because what we're talking about is people that were stuck, they're getting unstuck. They're getting unstuck through EMDR therapy. Do you have any last words you want to give people, Andy?
I just hope that give it a try. And I don't. I would like people to think that to just don't think this is just for some big trauma like a veteran. It really. We all have had distressing events. If we were picked on in school, it really can be a big trauma, but it can all be this kind of slow. Kind of criticism from your, father or something that you've tolerated and always felt you couldn't measure up. It could help any of those types of things.
It treats all forms of the human condition.
The pesky human condition again.
Yeah,
I think it does, yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your wealth of information.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I hope somebody out there is going to look into it. EMDR. Look it up online if you want to look over. Get Andy's book, read it. But most of all, take good care of yourself. We need you.
And you are worth it.
You are so worthwhile. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here next week, and we hope you're tuned in again.